counts recording.
Okay.
isn't that fun? It feels so weird though for me, even every time. I've done this so many times, but it still feels weird to like hear your own voice back.
Yeah, a little bit, like in the microphone, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. No, it definitely like makes you cringe and stuff too. So don't feel like okay. That's weird. Like you'll get used to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. All right. I guess we'll just start with, okay, how old are you?
I am 17.
God, you guys are such babies compared to me.
I know.
So weird. Like, I just started track and stuff too, which I've never done before, but I'm doing like throwing. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and he was like, are they even going to let you compete? Because you're 19.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I didn't either. And I was like, I honestly don't know. They might not, but you know what? Whatever. At this point, it's just good like fitness for me anyway. So mm-hmm. Whatever. But yeah, it's just weird that you guys are so... It's not like you're so young. I don't want to be the person who's like, you guys are so little, but...
Yeah, like, I feel like it would probably just be, like, interesting for you.
Yeah.
Is it weird for you, like, being in classrooms with people that are all younger than you?
It's definitely weird. It's funny. I put something on my Snapchat story the other day of, like, one of the teachers at the high school, like, dancing.
Yeah, it was Mr. Saran. I saw it.
Yeah, and someone from my class last year who graduated, like, replied to it and was like, are you back at the high school? And I was like, bro, I never left. Like, I don't know. So I guess not everyone got the memo from last year. Oh, but yeah, it's definitely weird. It's just, like, not, I don't know. It's weird because I didn't grow up with your guys' class.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like all of you guys, you went to Fisher together. A lot of you went to elementary school. Like, you just know your class.
Yeah, like, classes are always closed.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just, like, I feel like I'm kind of just, like, the transplant, just, like, plopped in there at the last minute. But, like, everyone's been really chill and, like, really nice and stuff. It's just definitely not what I would have, like, anticipated for my senior year, but not bad at all. But, yeah, like, how do you feel senior year, second semester, man?
Oh, God.
I know,
everyone, like, jokes about being a second semester senior, but, like, I have no motivation at all.
Same, 100%.
And it's just bad because, like, I do so many extracurriculars.
Yeah. You're loaded, man.
Yeah, I'm very loaded. And it's, like, to a fault because I kind of sign myself up for everything just because I'm, like, I really like to, like, keep myself busy.
Yeah.
Because I just don't really like, being alone and I'm, like, really extroverted. And I feel like my life doesn't really have a direction unless I'm, like, always doing something. And so I am in mock trial, I'm in, like, the show, I'm in Elgato. Like, I just really overcommitted myself, especially this year. And, like, I've done all those things in the past, but now I was, like, an attorney on mock trial. I'm, like, the lead in the show, and I'm editor-in-chief, so.
Girl, you're literally the top-notch of everything in every single area.
Except for academics.
But that's not even true, though. Like, even you saying that, it's, like, your version of, like, not top-notch in academics is, like, someone else's version of top-notch. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, you're grinding, like, all the time.
Yeah, I'm, like, mock trial is over now, so it was, like, a huge weight off my shoulders. Yeah. But, like, when I was doing everything, I just felt like I was, like, we talked about this in psych where there's, like, to an extent, stress can, like, make you perform better, but then you hit exhaustion, and then you just, like, lose it.
Yep, it's, like, and the up to the point.
Exactly. Like, I had exceeded my limits, and I was feeling very, like, overwhelmed, especially over the past few weeks with, like, mock trial competitions and press week for Elgato and stuff like that. And I'm kind of, like, okay now that mock trial is over and stuff, but, like, for a little while there, like, I just was exhausted. Like, just I would get home at night and I would have homework to do and I just wouldn't do it. I would just, like, go straight to bed or, like, watch TV or something because I just was like, I cannot use my brain anymore.
What do you, like, end up doing when you feel, like, that overwhelmed? Like, mentally, do you just kind of go into this, like, for me, I start just, like, avoiding shit completely.
Because
I'm like, it's too much, I need to just get away. And then it leads to me being more overwhelmed later on because then I'm like, oh my God, I haven't done 15 things that I was supposed to do. But, like, what's kind of the way that you, like, end up handling that?
It's kind of the same thing for me. Like, I just kind of stop doing stuff, which is, like, when you are, like, editor-in-chief and attorney and stuff like that, like, you really can't be doing that. And so I, like, for a while, like, I was actually under, like, a lot of scrutiny recently just because I kind of, like, dropped the ball, like, when it came to Elgato stuff. And, like, it was, and I also was, like, going through shit with my family, mm-hmm. and just, like, it was just a really, like, bad time in my life, like, and it was literally just for, like, 2 weeks, but, mm-hmm. like, still, and I, like, exactly, it was, like, I was avoiding stuff, I was just, and I was, like, crying a lot.
Yeah,
because, yeah, like, there was a point at which I just, like, couldn't take it, and I just would get in my car at the end of the day, like, every day, and just, like, break down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of past now, thank God.
That's awesome, though, mm-hmm. that you're, like, working through that, but it's such a... It's such a tough place to be into when you're moving that fast because you don't feel like you can slow down.
Exactly.
And you feel like if you do, like, same thing, like, you're talking about scrutiny and stuff that you face, and it's, like, you feel like if you do slow down or stop in any way, then, like, you're letting people down.
Yeah, especially when you are, like, a part of a team
yeah.
or a network or something. It's
not
like,
just you.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. like, when you slow down or when you drop the ball or something, like, everybody else suffers.
Yeah.
And then that just makes it feel 100 times worse.
Completely.
Yeah.
Has this kind of been a pattern, like, throughout high school and stuff for you? Of you just, like, taking on a lot of activities and stuff? Or is this, like, a kind of new thing?
So, it's definitely been a pattern. Like, I just am constantly doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly just because, like, I am very, like, I've gotten really, really independent. And I don't know if it's, like, because I do a lot of stuff or because, like, I just prefer to be independent and, like, going out and doing stuff and being a part of, like, these different things, like, makes me feel, like, independent, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, well, okay, so with my family, like, I'll just get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so, go for it.
So, like, my dad is an alcoholic, and he has been, like, my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of... like, haven't, like, for me, I've been, like, lacking in the parent department, kind
yeah.
of, just because, like, my dad, like, I've just learned to, like, not rely on him and, like, not, because, like, you know, for my whole life, it was, like, don't expect a ride home after 7 p.m., like, mm-hmm. don't expect to have any substantial conversation with him because, it, like, he was just kind of always drunk.
mm-hmm.
And then last year, my mom got diagnosed with cancer. And so she was, like, going through chemo, and she was, like, going through all of that stuff. And so my parents, like, just kind of dropped off for me. And so that was, like, kind of forced me into independence.
Yeah.
And then, like, the more independent I got, the more I felt like I had to, like, focus myself into certain things. And so it was, like... I started off high school being committed to a lot of things, and then it, like, I just kept committing myself to more because
yeah.
I was like, I have to be doing stuff. And then also, like, I started looking for that, like, family aspect and, like, the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I got really, really close with my best friend. And, like, now we're, like, sisters. Like, we fight every day, like, sisters too and
yeah.
stuff like that. And I, like, started forming, like, really intimate, like, real relationships with people. So I'm, like, really glad that I had that opportunity, and, like, even though the way that I got it, like, wasn't ideal,
yeah,
it was still, like, I'm glad that it kind of forced me into that, and, like, I signed myself up for things, and I join, like, these different groups and stuff because, like, that is a way that I can meet those people and that I can form those relationships, and so I just, like, really look for, like, intimacy in the people around me because I feel like I'm kind of looking for, like, a family.
Yeah, completely. Mm-hmm. That's, like... I mean, I've never experienced, like, family issues to that kind of extent of, like, not necessarily feeling like you can have those parents as, like, a really reliable kind of, you know, jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
But I've definitely had those times, at least with, like, friends, where I just didn't really feel like I had that place. And, like, that was same thing with me. Like, I just threw myself into activities because I was, like, A, it kind of takes my mind off of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm too busy to think about the shit that's happening, then,
yeah.
like, that's a good way of dealing with it. And, you know, in my mind, at least it was. And then, yeah, it was, like, reality check for me, too, up. Like, those were, you know, places where I felt like I belonged. I felt like I could ask those people to do anything for me and that they would be there for me. And it's just one of those things that's, like, I don't know. I felt like I was grasping for control, like, in any way that I could, because, like, the rest of my life was just, like, so not in my control,
mm-hmm.
that, like, if I did activities and things where it's, like, I know I can do this and I know that I'm capable and all that stuff, then I feel better about it. And,
yeah.
like, and that was definitely, like, how I kind of handled things, too. Like, I think it was my sophomore year. Yeah, it was, like, December of my my sophomore year or something, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same thing where I was just like, well, that's not something I can do anything about. So I guess I'm going to, you know, work on all the shit that I can and then also like push those feelings away because yeah. like if I have to deal with those, it's going to fuck up the way that I'm handling everything else.
Exactly.
So like, do you ever feel like when you do, I don't know, like sit in your feelings with a lot of that stuff and like kind of come to terms with like, my mom's dealing with cancer and my dad's an alcoholic. If you kind of, I don't know, choose to sort of like push those feelings down or if they come to the surface, like how do you feel like you sort of deal with that when it gets like really raw?
Yeah. So like for me, I can't, like my whole family just has a tendency to like brush things under the rug mm-hmm. and we like joke about it, but it's like very real.
Yeah.
Like my family just like does not know how to like confront problems. And so all of this shit that like I've talked about with like my dad and all of that like was always just kind of like unspoken mm-hmm. until pretty recently. And so I have like developed that, you know, problem because yeah. I live with my family. And I just like for a really long time just like brush things under the rug, like don't, or like I still do. I brush things under the rug. I don't like really confront my emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think that like signing myself up for everything and like keeping myself busy all the time is kind of like what you said, it's like a way to avoid like having to like really think about those feelings and think yeah. about the stuff that I'm going through. And so it's like not often that I get to really sit and think about that stuff. And when I do, it's like I will sit there and I'll just be like, why hasn't this happened earlier? Like I kind of was beating myself up for a really long time over my mom because like I didn't cry and I didn't.
Same with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I was never like, I feel like it never really hit me that like my mom had cancer and like mm-hmm. cancer is also like such a heavy term.
Yeah.
And so it was like when she, I was like sitting in the back of my dad's car and we were in a 7-Eleven parking lot mm-hmm. and my dad was inside buying like a pint of ice cream and my mom turns around and she goes, I have something to tell you. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I yeah. was like thinking like I was about to get chapped or something. Like I was like, well.
She's and like, I caught you last
literally. And she's like, I have breast cancer. Mm. And I just, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I was just sitting there like, is this real? Mm-hmm. Like I, because you hear about it and you hear about other people having cancer and you're like, fuck, like that sucks so much. Yeah. But like, it's not me. Like I'll never have to go through that. You don't really expect it. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, like, your mom turns around, she says that she has cancer, and you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So that was, I don't know where I was going with this. But
no, but I, yeah, like, yeah. I honestly, I had kind of the same reaction. Like, I remember we were on, like, family vacation because it was, like, winter break or something, and I remember my dad being like, my dad and my mom like sitting us all down and being like, we have something to tell you. And I'm just like, fuck. Like, cause they did the same thing when they were like, told us they were splitting up like yep. a while back.
Okay. Me too.
Yeah. And I was like, bro, like if it's this again, like, come on, like I don't need a sequel to this. Like mm-hmm. I was just annoyed sort of. And my dad's like, you know, like they found like a mass of cells or something like this. And mm-hmm. all he kept saying was a mass of cells, a mass of cells. And I'd just taken like freshman bio and I'm like, so you have cancer. Like, he mm-hmm. wouldn't say the word. Mm-hmm. And my siblings, like, same thing that happened when they said they were splitting. Both my siblings, like, broke down crying, all this stuff. And I'm just there, like, stoic as fuck. Like, just, it just didn't hit me.
Yeah.
And I feel like it never did. And mm-hmm. I feel really, like, guilty for that, too. Because I'm, like, I feel like I let my dad, like, have this whole burden to carry. And then I just, like, I don't know. It was, like, did I not care? Like, yeah. what is it in me that like doesn't allow me to like feel that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was like the same thing for me. Like when, so my parents were separated for like a few months yeah. my freshman year, which was
why
really
do we have the same
shitty.
Life?
I know
what the fuck? What the fuck?
Literally, like the stuff that you're saying, I'm like, okay, literally me.
I know.
But yeah, no, it was like, so I have an older sister. Mm-hmm. She's 3 years older than me. And she like, when my parents, so they split up for like 3 months, or no, not 3 months, longer than that. I don't know. Yeah. They split up for a few months my freshman year, which was really shitty for me because it was going into my freshman year.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had been like at this theater camp in New York like all summer long. And like all of my friends were in a show together in Los Gatos. And so they had all gotten really close. I had, like, made a bunch of, like, really influential relationships in New York. So I was, like, really, really happy that I had gone and stuff. But I also felt like I was coming back to this community that had gotten really strong, like, without me there. Yeah. And so I was going into freshman year thinking, like, I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
And then my parents, like, my dad took us, me and my sister, outside one day. And it was my sister's senior year. And they were like, and my dad was like, your mother and I are splitting up. And my sister, like, started crying, and then she just started, like, yelling.
Yeah.
And she was like, what the fuck? Like, how did this happen? And I was just, like, sitting there, and I don't know if I was in shock or what, but I, like, literally almost started laughing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what's happening? Like, yep. How did my life get here? And it was just, like, that never even really hit me until, like, a couple months into my freshman year, when I just felt like that was, like, a time when I felt, like, really, really alone. And, like, my sister and I had kind of taken out, like, our aggression on each other. Mm-hmm. And so we were fighting a bunch. And there was, like, one night where, like, my sister and I were, like, across the living room table or the dining room table from each other. And we were just, like, yelling at each other and we were fighting. And then I just, like, started crying. And, like, at the time, that was, like, kind of weird for me, because I have always been, like, very, like, happy and, like, funny, and, you know, mm-hmm. like, in my family I was always, like, the humorous one that, like, when there was shit going on, like, I kept my family laughing and, yeah. like, happy and stuff. And so my sister was like, oh shit, like,
yeah, that's what? A red flag.
Yeah. And then my sister and I just, like, sat on the ground and, like, literally cried to each other for, like, an hour. But yeah, it was, like, that was just interesting for me. And I feel like that was, like, really the only time that it, like, hit me.
Yeah.
When my parents were splitting up, too. And that's been kind of, like, a constant theme in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I just feel like I don't really process things in, like, the same way as, like, other people.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, when my mom had cancer, like, I was never crying. I was never, like, it never really, I felt like it never really hit me.
Yeah.
And the same thing with my parents. And then all of a sudden, it just hits me all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's, like, completely the same for me. And I feel like I've been, like, I don't know how far back it was. But, like, I feel like I've been like that for most of my life. Where I always kind of have this, like, emotional guard up to some extent. Where, like, I hate crying. Mm-hmm. I hate doing it. I wish that I cried more. And, like, honestly, I feel really guilty for not a lot of the times. Like, mm-hmm. there'll be really sad situations. Like, you know, I'm at a funeral or I'm at something, someone tells me something really sad and I just don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I almost want to, like, fake cry to, like, not look like the fucking weirdo who doesn't have any emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's so the same with me where it's like 90% of the time I'm like just blocking it out and I don't even feel like I'm consciously doing it. It's just like nothing happens, you know, I don't mm-hmm. feel it. And then it'll all hit me like at once. And then it just fucking spirals yep. right down from there. Just right down. And I think that's, like, probably why I'm so afraid of, like, feeling those things. Because I'm like, the second I stop to feel this, it's gonna take over me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just gonna, like, what can I do from there? And, like, yeah. is that something that you feel, too, sometimes of, like, I don't know, like, at least when I get into those, like, really, like, depressed modes and stuff, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is gonna be a while. Like, I'm gonna get stuck here yeah. sort of thing.
Yeah, I have, like, I've definitely had, like, a few of those phases in my life where mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm, like, rock bottom. And, like, there are moments where I feel like I'm approaching it and I get, like, freaked out.
Yeah.
Because, like, beginning of junior year, I went through some stuff with, like, a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, someone that I really, really, like, trusted. And I had gotten really, really close with them and they were, like, my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, I don't know, it kind of fell apart. But it wasn't, like, in a bad way. It was just, like, for me, like, I hate being in the dark about stuff. And so, like, when I don't know everything or if I feel like other people, like, know something about me or about a relationship that I have that I don't know, like, it really, really stresses me out.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's... I just get into, like, these spirals where I just am, like, overthinking everything.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I feel like I can't get out of my own head because I'm just, like, just thinking, like, way too hard about just everything. And so, like, that, like, beginning of junior year, like, when that happened and when all of that fell apart, like, I just was at, like, my lowest.
Yeah.
And I was like that for a little while, and it was, like, kind of textbook, like, depression, like, you know, stopped showering and stopped eating and, like, just didn't want to do anything, would go home at the end of the day and just, like, nap or lay in bed. And then I started going to therapy, and that helped. And then I got really busy again because I was overcommitting myself. Yeah. And then I stopped being able to go to therapy, and it was like I was, you know, back down where I started. And so I feel like I'm kind of self-destructive in that way. And that, like, I know what's good for me, but I still don't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't want to have to be, like, when I get in places like that, I feel like I don't want to have to be, like, alone with my thoughts. And I don't want to have, like, have any second where I'm not doing something just because, like, I know that I'll spiral. Like, I know that, like, I'll get into those, like, thought spirals.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, it's funny. Like, I think about too, like, I've had a lot of, you know, really, like, low depressive episodes type stuff in my life. And I think the one that definitely hit me the hardest, though, was after a breakup, where it was like, I just was at, it's so weird because I don't know, I feel like even when I hear other people talk about it, sometimes I find myself not always having the same, like, compassion. And I'm just like, oh, it's a high school relationship, or it's whatever. It's, like, trivial. And I'm like, I don't know when I became, like, this fucking, like, adult that was, like, looking down on people. But, like, because I've been in that place 100%, you know? And, like, I know what that did to me. And it fucked me up. Like, at the time, it was just like, oh, that's my world crashing down. And it's the same thing. Like, I hated being in the dark about shit. And then even just, like, an inkling of that feeling led me to just overthink. And then suddenly every action meant, you know, some huge fucking thing, when it probably didn't. But in my head it did. And, like, just getting to that point too, it's so hard too, because I think, like, those lows of depression sometimes get, like, glamorized in a way. And I'm like, bro, that's not glamorous.
Yeah, like, it's literally just down in the dumps.
So bad. I'm like, didn't brush my hair for a week, haven't showered, can't brush my teeth. And, like, to a lot of people who haven't experienced depression, like, that might sound, like, gross to you or whatever, but it's like, yeah, like, we know it's fucking gross. Like, we feel gross. Like, that's the point. It's like, you feel like shit and you have no energy, and it translates to your outward appearance and like what you can do. And, like, it just, it fucking sucks. And it feels so hard to move out of that. And like, even with what you're saying about, like, not being alone, I think about this too. Like, I've been doing really, really well lately, but I have noticed that, like, I can't really be alone at all anymore. And, like, even, like, from the minute I wake up, I start playing a podcast. Like, I always want to have voices or something there so that it feels like I'm not alone.
Yeah. That's the same for me. Like, it's either music playing or, like, Netflix on in the background. Exactly. Like, something. Yeah.
Like, even if I'm not fully paying attention to it, just having, like, you know, noise. And then I'm like, oh, I have friends here. Like, whatever it is. Just so, because I think I'm really deep down, like, afraid of what I'm going to fucking find in there.
Yeah. For me also, like, because, like what I was talking about earlier, because I, like, find so much in, like, my intimacy with other people, I have a tendency to, like, really pour myself into my relationships. Like, my whole world will become the people that I surround myself with. And, like, just, like, everybody, like, the people that I'm around, everything, like, really shapes, like, who I am and everything. So, like, when those relationships fail, it hits me really, really hard. And, like, I've had, like, a bunch of falling outs with people over, like, the past 4 years. Like, the only person that's stayed consistent has been, like, my best friend since seventh grade. And she's, like, amazing. I love her to death. And then, like, my other friend who's, like, I've been friends with for, like, 3 years. But, yeah, like, sophomore year, I was friends with, like, a group of people, and I really, really loved them. And, like, I felt like whenever I was with them, like, it was just, like, I was at my happiest. And, like, I was at my most, like, authentic version of myself. And I'm also, like, a very firm believer in, like, surround yourself with people who, like, you feel like you are authentic around. And so, like, I was super, super happy in that group. And then, like, everybody kind of started dating each other. And then there was, like, a breakup sort of between, like, me and someone. And then that all just fell apart. And, like, that was around the same time as, like, everything else was going on with my family. And it was just, like, that, like, kind of falling apart with like that many people at once that I felt like so connected with was like such a huge thing for me, because it was like I had poured like my whole world into them, and it was like my whole world had become like these people. And then when I lost them, it was like, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm completely the fucking same. Like, it's so, I put everything into the people around me that it feels like when those relationships do fall apart, or when something, you know, happens, and especially if it feels like it's their choosing, sort of, like, it's not like us mutually not working together anymore. It's sort of like they start moving away or whatever it is. I'm like, I gave you every single bit of me, and that wasn't good enough for you. So that must mean that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can I put everything that I have, all the love that I have, into someone and then have them still be like, eh, no thanks.
Yeah. Especially when you share, like, especially when you have trust issues already.
Yeah.
And, like, difficulty trusting people, and then you share, like, the most vulnerable parts of yourself with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then either that person, like, betrays you, or, like, there's just a falling out between that person and you, and it's just like, it's like your whole world comes crashing down. It's like, I cannot believe that I like gave like everything I had and shared like the most vulnerable parts of myself with you, and like that's just gone now.
Yeah, completely. And do you feel like some of those kind of trust issues sort of stemmed from your relationship with your dad and like your parents and stuff?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just think that it's hard for me to feel like I can like put any trust in people, because I like, for me, a big theme in my life is like consistency, and I didn't have consistency like at all growing up. Like, when I was 3, I moved to Belgium, and then I moved back, and then I was in my house for a little while, and then I moved, and it's like I've moved a lot when I was younger, and like my dad was super wishy-washy, and like I couldn't really expect anything from him, and then like my mom was dealing with shit with my sister, and it was just like I felt like I didn't really have anybody that I could talk to or that I could put my trust in. And so just because of that, like, I never really learned how to. And then I got more trusting as like time went on and as I started making like these influential relationships, but then like it's still only to an extent.
Right.
And it's just hard because it's like when I do put trust in someone, it like means a lot to me, just because I'm not used to that.
Yeah. And it's hard too, feeling like maybe someone else doesn't have that same view of like trust sort of thing, and they don't treat it the same way. And like, I think like, at least for me, that feeling of, you know, putting all your trust in someone too, I know that I overthink things. Like, I know that that's just in my personality and stuff. And then I even overthink my overthinking, and that I'm like, this is going to make the other person think that I'm fucking crazy. Because, you know, here I am like questioning, oh, I don't know, why did you not kiss me? Or why did you like, you know, if it's a friend or something, like, why did you not invite me that one night? Like, you must hate me. And then if I say anything, I feel like the crazy bitch who's like, you know, just like so possessive or something. And I'm like, I'm not. I just like, I really need to be reminded that like I'm loved, or that like people want me there, because all it takes is someone like not saying that.
Yeah.
And then I start to feel like I'm not wanted.
And then like it's kind of just a domino effect after that, because like then you're kind of galvanized into like silence and like distance. And then the more distant you get with someone, then the less time they want to spend with you, because you're not being real with them. And then it's like everything falls apart from there.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it's been with like almost every relationship I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And that just worsens my trust issues because I'm like, damn, like I really, really do like put everything into all these relationships, and they just keep falling apart like over and over. And it's like, why the fuck is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've had like a couple different like relationship, like sort of relationships, you know, with people like over high school. And it's like every single time they end the same way. And like as it happens and as these things keep happening, it's like I'm starting to think like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with me that's making like all of this end in the same way? And like, obviously it's something like, obviously there's a common denominator here. And so that's been really hard. And it's like every time that something falls apart like that, I'm like, how am I ever supposed to, like, put myself out there again?
Yeah.
Because I just keep getting hurt over and over. And that's something that's really hard for me, because I just feel like I can't keep, like, getting myself into these situations, because mm-hmm. they all just end the exact same way with, like, me being hurt.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's this weird feeling, too, because you always have that desire to, like, protect yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, like, for me, it's, like, I don't know which way is protecting myself. Am I protecting myself by keeping myself, you know, closed off and not letting people hurt me, because I feel like that's always what happens? Or am I, like, really doing the better thing for myself if I keep trying to put myself out there? It's, like, I don't know, because it feels like, you know, obviously people would think, like, okay, yeah, you should put yourself out there. That's what's good for you, right? And, like, you can kind of think of that, like, objectively and be like, yeah, that's the good thing to do. But, you know, my brain is like, don't fucking do that. You're just going to get hurt again. Like, if you really want to keep yourself safe, like, push people away, close off. And so it's like, I feel like I'm fighting this battle of, like, I don't know which one I should even be trying to do, because it feels like it's a lose-lose.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, either way, like, I end up alone.
Yeah.
And, like, I end up feeling shitty about myself, and I end up feeling like there's something wrong with me that I can't control.
Yeah. And, like, what has kind of, is there anything that you feel like kind of helps you when you're in that place, or anything that's been in your life that you feel like has kind of been, you've used as, like, a tool to sort of channel that and kind of get out of those, like, dark thought spirals?
Well, so I've been, like, really passionate about just, like, music my mm-hmm. whole life, because, like, my mom, like, I grew up on, like, she loves music and she sings and has been singing her whole life. And I grew up on, you know, musicals, and, like, mm-hmm. I've been in musicals since I was, like, literally born. And so because of that, and I'm a singer,
mm-hmm.
And so because of that, like, I, you know, I write music and I, like, write songs and stuff, and I've never really, like, shared them or anything, but, like, and I'm also, like, a writer. Like, I'm on Elgato, I, like, write, I have, like, so many fucking journals in my house that are just, like, filled with, like, random shit.
Please publish them one day. I guarantee you people would read them. Guarantee it.
So, yeah, I mean, really just, like, and I don't, what sucks is that, like, because I'm so busy, I don't have, often have, like, time to do this, but, like, if I ever have, like, a free minute where I just feel like I need to, like, get this shit out of my head,
at least,
I'll just sit down and I'll just write for, like, hours, and it's just, like, really, really cathartic, and also, like, I'll just sing, like, just, like, singing and writing music and listening to music, and, like, now, recently, I've gotten really into just, like, making playlists. Like, I make a new playlist, like, every 2 or 3 days.
Are you on Spotify?
Yes.
I'm going to follow you 100%.
Okay.
I need that so badly.
Like, and they're all just, like, I don't know. It's just based off of, like, the phase and, like, the way that I'm, like, experiencing life, like, in at that moment. And I feel like just that, and just, like, being able to sit with, like, me and, like, music, which has just been the only thing that, one, I've ever been, like, really, really good at
mm-hmm.
and really loved and been passionate about for my whole life, and just also the only thing that's been, like, super consistent throughout my whole life. Like, it's, I grew up on it, I, like, have always been surrounded by it, by, like, performing and music and all that. So
do you feel like there's something that's holding you back from sort of sharing those, like, more intimate things, like the songwriting and you know, singing original pieces and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. I, like, everyone says this, but, like, I just really think that, like, my writing and all that is just, like, not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll sit there and I'll write for, like, an hour, and then I'll just cross it all out.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is shit. And then I'll listen to, like, artists that have, like, really profound, like, beautiful, meaningful lyrics, and I'm like, why isn't my brain working like that? Like, mm-hmm. why can't I produce shit like that? And it just, like, makes me feel kind of shitty about myself because, mm-hmm. like, as much as I, like, love doing it and stuff, I'm like, I'll never be, like, good enough at this to, like, put it out there yeah. and be, like, not that it wouldn't be good if I put it out there, but just that I wouldn't be, like, satisfied in it. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, another thing is that, like, I feel like I always have to be the best at everything I do.
Yep.
And, like, if I'm not the best, and this is just, like, the worst possible mindset to have.
I literally, though, everything you're saying word for word is my exact inner monologue.
Yeah, so. Like, if I am not, like, top-notch, like, the best or, like, the highest position
yeah.
or, you know, something like that at, like, what I do, I'm, like, I'm not good enough. Like,
yeah.
this isn't what I want. This isn't good enough. I need to get better. I need to, like, be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, writing that stuff, like, as much as I love it, like, I'm never really proud of it
mm-hmm.
just because I feel like I could do better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I think about how this kind of idea of, like, perfectionism is also really, like, people have this idea of, like, oh, you're a perfectionist. Like, it's almost, like, obnoxious to people. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, I don't know. People think of that as, like, that's a good thing, though, because you get everything done well and you do all this stuff. It's a fucking curse.
Mm-hmm.
You are trapped in your own head because nothing you do ever feels like it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You never feel like you can be proud enough of something. Everything is always, there's someone better than me. There's someone better than me. I'm never going to be good enough, even if it's the fucking simplest things. Like, mm-hmm. there's things that are so trivial that literally don't mean jack shit, like my handwriting or something like that, where I'm like, it's not the fucking prettiest. Like,
yeah.
someone be like, oh, your handwriting looks really good. I'm like, no, it's, like, not that. It's not that good. It's like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
It's your handwriting. It doesn't matter. You know, but it's, like, it applies to literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it so hard to do the things that you love to do and to actually, like, put yourself out there, because why would you want to just keep feeling like you're a fucking failure?
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, with this podcast for me, like, it was, I had the idea for probably, like, a good 6 months before I actually did something with it, because I was like, I'm not a good talker. Like, mm-hmm. what am I going to talk about? I have nothing to contribute. Like, why would people listen to me? And it's just, it really, like, stops you from living your life
yeah,
a lot of the time.
100%.
And even with track and stuff right now, I'm like, I fucking suck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad at, like, discus and chop put, like, so bad. But I also have to keep reminding myself, I'm like, dude, it was, like, your third day. Like, you need to, like, give yourself a break. And, like, this is your first time doing sports in, like, since you've had all your concussions. This is, like, you're still recovering. But in my head, I'm just like, I should stop because I'm terrible. But
mm-hmm.
I'm like, everyone's terrible when they start. But it's this constant fight back and forth of, like, knowing how I should think and, like, I should try to step outside of my comfort zone. But then there's the other voice being like, you're fucking pathetic. And, like, you're never going to be good enough. And why would you try something that you're not good at?
Yeah. And even just with, like, small stuff, like you were saying, like, I'll put off, like, essays.
Yeah.
Because I am like, I have to do this assignment justice. Like, I have to,
mm-hmm.
I have, like, if I'm not insightful enough, if I don't come up with a good enough idea, like, I'm not doing it justice. I'm not doing the best that I could be doing.
Yeah.
And then I'll just put it off, and then I'll just get stressed out because I don't have any time to do it. And then, like, half the time the shit that I end up submitting is, like, even worse.
Yeah.
Because I just was so concerned about it not being as, like, the best part of me, like,
yeah.
not putting out the best that I could possibly put out. And I just end up putting it off for so long that it's just, like, shitty and rushed at the end.
Yeah, it harms you more at the end mm-hmm. of the day. Do you feel like there's, like, can you remember this kind of feeling going back to when you were really young? Or do you feel like it, like, developed in, like, middle school or something? Or has it kind of always been a part of your life?
I think it's kind of, like, I don't really know because, okay, this is another thing. I have, like, really, really bad memory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Like, my mom literally is like, did something traumatic happen yeah. to you when you were a kid? Like, what the fuck? And, like, my mom will say all the time, like, do you remember when we did this? And, like, when I lived in Belgium, like, we have pictures. We did, like, the coolest shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
we went to Egypt and we were on the pyramids
wow.
and we went on, like, boats in Greece. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just, like, go everywhere because we were in Europe and everything's, like, so central there that it's, like, you can,
yeah.
like, travel so
everywhere.
Easily there.
Yeah.
And, like, I have pictures of me doing all this really cool shit, and I don't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I really wasn't that young at the time. Like, yeah, I was young, but I, like, should have some memory. Right. And then there's even stuff that, like, my mom will say, do you remember, like, you know, 5 years ago when we did this? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Wait, what was the question? I got off track.
No, yeah, but just, like, if there was a time that you, you know, started kind of noticing that pattern.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I don't really remember just because my memory is so shit. But I think that, like, being a part of, like, being in theater and, like, doing all the music and the performing from a young age was, like, a, like, is kind of where it stemmed from.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, all eyes on you. Like, it was, like, people are constantly watching you and it's, like, you're performing. And because I'm a performer, like, that translates to my life. And mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm around people, like, I always have to be on because I'm a performer, like, mm-hmm. at heart, to my core, like, that is who I am. I'm a performer. And so the perfectionism, it was like, if I'm not the best, like, everybody else will see me and everyone else will see that. And I think it was a bit of, like, an outside pressure. But then as time went on, it became, like, you know, less of, like, all eyes on me and more of, like, just intrinsically, like, I'm a performer. I need to perform my best.
Yeah. Do you think that kind of mindset, too, made it harder for you to, like, express when you weren't doing well and when you were, like, feeling like shit? Like, did you feel like you still had to kind of, you know, put that happy face on and, like, perform for everyone around you?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I, like, didn't even start getting real about stuff with my parents. And I still am, like, not really.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, like, I've never really talked to my dad just because, like, I don't trust him and I kind of, like, resent him. And, like, I feel guilty about that even though I just have, like, kind of internal conflict about that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I resent him, but I shouldn't resent him because it's a disease and, like, I don't really understand it. But at the same time, like, it's his fault, but it's not his fault. But I don't know. Like, I just don't know how to think about any of that. And so, yeah, like, I've never really talked to my dad, like, just at all. And then with my mom, like, I was saying earlier, like, I've kind of always been, like, the happy face in my family.
Yeah.
And so for my mom, like, especially over the past year when she was going through chemo and she was going through all that shit, like, I had stuff to deal with that I was going through personally and, like, but I just didn't want to burden her with it.
Yeah.
Because she just had so much shit on her plate and she was going through so much on her own that it was, like, I can't put my shit on you, too, because in comparison, it's, like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know I shouldn't think that way, but, like,
can't help it, man.
Yeah.
Can't
I mean, it. When your mom has cancer, yeah. It's, like, what are my, like, mental health problems? What's my depression, like, in comparison right. to, like, a disease that could literally kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy, man. Like, everything you're saying resonates so much with me. It's very odd, actually, like, how parallel our lives have been. And, like, especially the stuff with your dad, too. Like, I have kind of that internal conflict, too. Like, my dad, growing up, I had kind of a, you know, tumultuous relationship with him. And there were times where I felt like he was the best dad in the world. And there were times where I felt like he fucked up and he, you know, like didn't treat me the way that I felt like I should have been treated as a child, kind of thing. And I feel a lot of guilt for that too, because I'm like, I know that you did some things that were fucked up. Like, I know that some of the times the way that you treated me wasn't right. And I know that I didn't deserve that. But at the same time, I know that the home that you came from was a bajillion times worse. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a mom, and when your mom was there, she abused the shit out of you. And so I'm like, when I look by comparison too, I'm like, oh my god, this is nothing. And also, like, he didn't know what good parenting looked like, and so he was doing his best, but in my mind, it, like, his best wasn't good enough. And then especially, like, these kind of feelings too were all sort of coming up for me, like, around my sophomore year. And so it was like I was just kind of getting to that point of being like, hey, some of the things that I went through, like, weren't cool. Like, wasn't cool of you to do that. Wasn't cool of you to talk to me that way or whatever it was. And it was, like, right around that time that he was diagnosed with cancer. And so in my head, I'm like, I'm still really fucking pissed at you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you could die.
Yeah.
And, like, how am I supposed to reconcile these two like emotions of mm-hmm. like, I want to be compassionate and empathetic and love you, but at the same time, I feel this anger in me and I don't know how to deal with this anger.
Yeah.
Like, that's just such a tough, like, concept for me. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I can't imagine that kind of same thing with your parents.
Yeah, it's just hard because it's, like, how much of it can I blame on you?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, like, he, you know, it's my senior year and he kind of, you know, it took him, what, 17 years to realize it.
Yeah.
But he's, like, fuck, like, my last daughter yeah, is leaving.
You're the baby.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, I have a fucked up relationship with her and mm-hmm. I feel like I should do something about it. And so he kind of has been trying to reach out to me, but it's hard because like, as much as I respect the fact that he's reaching out to me and I like want to kind of meet him halfway, at the same time, I just like, as much as I try and as hard as I try, I can't.
Yeah.
Because I just don't trust him, and it's more of like a like outwardly, like, you know, I love my dad, everything, right. like it what you were saying, it's yeah. like sometimes I have moments where I'm like, you're the best fucking dad ever, mm-hmm. like I love you, and like, you know, he's so fun around my friends and all my friends are like, we love
yeah
your dad
yeah
and everything, and like it's, there are moments where I'm like, you're so fun, like you're such a great dad, and then there are moments where I'm like, but you suck at the shit that's important.
Yeah.
And you suck at being a parent. Mm-hmm. And also, like, he went to rehab a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, he was, like, he was doing really well. And he was, like, 100 days sober at one point, which was, like, fucking awesome yeah. for my family. And my sister was home at the time, and it was like, we're a family again.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my mom was, like, going through chemo, like, her, like, the tumor's, like, reducing and everything, like, it was just, like, we were on a high.
Yeah.
And then he started drinking again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just shitty because it's, like, I see you making those efforts, but, like, my trust issues with you are just reinforced when you say you're gonna make a difference and then you don't.
Yeah.
You know? So that was like really hard for me, and it's like, it's just the internal conflict. It's like, I wanna have a relationship with you and I don't wanna feel this way about my dad because I see other people and I see their relationships with their parents and mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, you guys are so close, like I wish I could have that.
Yeah.
But then I look at my dad and I'm like, yeah, like, I want a relationship, but I want a relationship with someone who's my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a relationship with someone who's not gonna follow through with, like, the promises that he made to my family, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, I think there's that kind of mentality, too, of, like, when you see your parent, too, kind of feel like they're not meeting you where you feel like they should be as a parent, there's kind of that idea of, like, yeah, you might be trying, but, like, fucking try harder.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get there. Like, I remember feeling that a lot with my, when my parents told us they were separating, sort of thing. I was like, you committed to marriage. You had kids. You committed to that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fulfill your commitment. Like, I was, like, angry because I was just like, this is, you know, you signed up for this. You know what you signed up for. Like, you got to stick with it. And I feel like that's kind of my mentality in a lot of things, and so it's really hard for me to understand when other people don't, like, even in relationships with people, I'm like, when I'm in it, I'm in it.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'm not leaving anytime yeah. soon. Mm-hmm. And so when someone else leaves, I'm like, what happened to the commitment?
Yeah,
like, you just, it didn't mean the same thing obviously to you as it did to me, and mm-hmm. like, that fucks with you again. Like, it just is such a like mental battle of just being like, why is it that, you know, I'm putting everything in and not everyone else, like, seems like they have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, it's like, can I even blame them? And then also, how is this blame serving me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, I feel like a lot of times I'm just holding on to this anger, but I don't, like, it's only hurting me, you yeah. know?
And when those things happen, it's like, you try to get past them by, like, putting yourself in other people's shoes and trying yeah. to see it from their perspective. But then you catch yourself and you're like, but, like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to see it from your perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, problems, no problems. Like, you, exactly, like you were saying, like, you made this commitment. You're the one who signed up for this. Fucking follow through.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's just hard. It's just a lot of, like, I want to understand, but at the same time, who cares if I understand, because you're still a dick.
Yeah.
And you're still doing fucked up stuff. And, like, whether or not you're going through shit doesn't change the way that it's affecting me.
Yeah. I feel like that's always kind of my, it's been my philosophy a lot, too, in terms of just, like, the way that I treat other people. Like, I feel like I try to approach every situation with empathy, and I feel like I see, like, you literally, it's actually, like, creeping me out how much, like, you and I are similar. But it's, like, I feel like, yeah, and you can totally tell me if I'm fucking off and not speaking for you. But, like,
true.
But, like, I feel like we kind of approach people in, like, always looking for that empathy and always trying to approach it with, like, how can I relate to you? And also, like, what have you been through that makes you this way? Like, I even, you know, with people at school or whatever who I'm like, you're kind of a dick. Like, I just don't think you're, like, that, you're not that nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
I still try to kind of go in with that mindset of, like, well, what made you this way? Like, where is your hurt? Like, what are you sort of dealing with there? And then sometimes it just feels like I can't always apply that to people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I try to do that most of the time and try to understand, like, where people are coming from. But simultaneously, it's like, it doesn't give you an like, the shit that you've been through doesn't give you an excuse to hurt other people.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, when, yeah, like, that was always a thing to me where I was like, bro, I've been through shit.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through shit. We're not assholes.
Yeah.
You know? And I, so it's like, so it's like,
I wrote an opinion article about this last year.
Oh my God. You need to give it to me. I need to read that too. But it's like, how can you, I don't know, how can some people like us, like, take all the stuff that we've been through and, you know, find a way to be positive about it? And, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe, yeah, I'm being positive outwardly, but maybe it's because I'm holding on to that hurt and I'm just doing damage to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking it out on everyone around me, I'm like, why don't I just, you know, take it out on me?
Yeah. And I think that, like, I love that about myself. Mm-hmm. I, like, really value that I'm, like, a super empathetic person.
Yeah.
Because I think it makes it easier for me to connect with people.
Yeah, completely.
And I do kind of pride myself on my ability to connect with people.
Yeah.
And, like, form those relationships that I was talking about. But at the same time, there are times when I'm like, okay, as much as I love that about myself, like, is that the reason why I keep getting fucked over?
Yes.
Like, is that the reason why I am always the one who ends up getting hurt at the end of the day while everybody else, like, walks free? Everyone else is fine.
Because, yeah. It's like, is it a strength or is it a weakness?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you, because it's like, sometimes, exactly, it feels like my strongest asset. I'm like, I love this about myself. And then there are other times where I'm like, yeah, I love this about myself and I know I'm doing good for the people around me, but I'm getting fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to meet in the middle of those two, because it's like just my personality. Like, I can't shut that off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life getting hurt.
Yeah.
I just don't, but I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. And it's like, as much as feel like I, like, am helping the people around me and kind of trying to make, like, the world around me a better place, like, at what risk?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Completely. Do you feel like there's been, like, is there a way that you've kind of seen yourself grow over time in terms of, like, just how you think about things and how you process stuff? Like, has there been any kind of, whether it's like a moment or just over time, where you've kind of shifted and, you know, started working towards those ideas of, like, hey, if I'm trying something, I'm trying something. I don't have to be perfect at it. Or, you know, maybe I'm going to put myself out there. Like, do you find that you're at a point right now where you're kind of moving in that direction, or you're, like, sort of falling back into, like, fuck, I'm not good enough, you know?
Well, so my life is kind of dictated by my, like, fear of, you know, missed opportunities and, like, wasted potential. Wasted potential is, like, a huge, huge thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there are moments where I'm like, okay, fuck it. Just do it, because it's something to do. And if you don't do it, then you'll look back and you'll think, why didn't I, you know, like, what could have been? And, like, that kind of stuff, like, when you look back and you think, like, what if, that's, like, the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I, like, all of my experiences, and I think about this a lot, like, all of my experiences, all the people I meet, all the places I go, every little situation that I'm in has, like, contributed so much to my personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a huge thing for me because I am, like, a completely different person than I was.
Yeah.
Just, like, going into freshman year. Like, my character development has been insane.
Yeah, I feel that.
And so when I, like, failed relationships or missed opportunities, stuff like that, it's, like, when I think about that, that's what, like, really gets to me.
Yeah.
Because I just think, you know, who would I be, like, if I had gone through with it or if that had, like, if we had followed through with that, something like that. Like, there was so much potential there, and, it, like, I'll never have the opportunity to know. Like, yeah. I'll never understand what could have been.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of a double-edged sword because it's a lot of, you know, sitting with yourself and thinking what might have been, which can be really hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
you can't win that game.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're never going to know. Just mm-hmm. move on.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as I
yeah,
say
we can't
that,
do that,
as much as I think that, it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I can't move on.
Exactly. Like, that's, I feel like I've always approached things with this mentality of, like, I, you know, people talk about how, you know, one door closes, another door opens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how about I don't close any doors?
Yeah.
I'd like to keep them all open because I don't know what's going to come. And then it leads to that overloading and that ending up doing so many things and me not being able to let go of things even when they're bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I don't want to burn any bridges.
Yeah.
I'd rather have everything out in front of me because if I feel like I missed some opportunity or I screwed something up, then I'm always going to be looking back and being like, exactly, what if? What mm-hmm. if I hadn't, what if I hadn't messed that up? Then what would have happened? Then where would I be? And you don't win it because I'm looking back and I'm like questioning all these things. But then at the same time, you know, when I do keep all these like doors open or whatever, it's like, it's such a like burdening feeling. Like you
yeah.
just feel like you have everything on top of you and you just don't. You don't have any, like, sense of direction, really, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, like, for me, well, this is, like, a really good thing, but I, like, where I'm at now, I feel like I'm finally, like, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
But I'm finally at a place where I, like, really love who I am, and I love the person that I've become.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of moments in the past where it was just so much self-hatred.
Yeah.
And, like, as much as I look back on the shit that I went through and how fucking hard it was,
yeah.
At the same time, I know that, like, I wouldn't have the perspective on the world that I do now had I not gone through that.
Yeah.
And it's shitty because, like, as much as I wish that I could have had, like a clean, just, like, good 4 years.
Yep.
I still, like, I feel like I was saying, like, my perspective on the world, I really, like, love that. And
yeah.
I feel like it's influenced by the people around me. It's influenced by the shit I've gone through. It's influenced by all of, like, my hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And had I not experienced that, then I wouldn't be who I am.
Yeah.
And so I have, like, that's kind of what I do a lot also to cope is, like, I think about where I am and the people that I'm surrounded with
mm-hmm.
and just how, like, those people that I value so much are the ones who were, like, who picked me up
yeah.
off the ground when I was at my lowest.
Mm-hmm.
And had they not, like, had I not ever been at my lowest, then they would have never had that opportunity to, like, pick me up off
yeah.
the ground. And then we wouldn't be as close. And because of that, I wouldn't be the person that I am.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah, I think about the deepest relationships I've ever formed have been from those times of being in the pits, man, of just being at your deepest, darkest point and finding another person there, you know, and being able to get out of that together, whether it's, you know, they're going through something hard too, or they're chilling and they're just there to help you. It's yeah. like, those are the connections that make it worth it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it gives you just a different lens to look at life through. And I feel like that's, yeah, again, like you would never have that had you not experienced the things that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask people this too at the end, like, if you could kind of give like a word of advice or something, a message to either, you know, younger you when you're going through the thick of it, or to like an underclassman or just someone listening, like, what do you think you would say?
I think that, like, just try to have as many experiences as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because those experiences and being a part of all that, like, all the shit that I've been a part of and finding those people, like, was such a, like, catalyst yeah. for my growth. And I just feel like, you know, so many people will, like, pour themselves into, like, academics and stuff like that. And, like, as much as, yeah, that's going to get you into a good college, like, it's not – you're going to end high school just feeling like you didn't really, like
– What did you get out of it?
Yeah, what did you get out of it? Exactly. And so, like, that's kind of something that I've been trying to do lately. And, like, I read a, like, David Foster Wallace, like, this, like, essay mm-hmm. that he published the other day. And it was, like, this, it was all about, he basically said, like, when you're not happy, like, genuinely to your core, when you're not happy,
mm-hmm.
you look for excitement. Like, because you're kind of just trying to mask the fact that, like, you're not content with your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of have done that over the past 4 years. Like, I've been looking for excitement. I've been looking for, you know, spontaneity.
Yeah.
Just to give my life a little bit more meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shitty that I had to be, like, not happy in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, that excitement and that spontaneity and all of that is, like, the reason why I've been able to go out and find these new places and experience these new things. And I'm just, like, so, so thankful for that.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to go through shit and you're going to go through times in your life where you just feel like you're not alive. Like, mm-hmm. you just feel like you are not present in, like, situations and in, like, social situations and everything. Like, you just feel like you're not living.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I have gone through too many of those
mm-hmm.
phases.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there are moments when you feel like you're alive, and those moments, like, when you feel like that, you have to look around and you have to see who you're with and you have to see what the circumstances are that brought you here, and you have to, like, fucking treasure that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that, like, as long as, like, just the most important thing for me is, like, just feeling like I'm living.
Yeah.
Because when I don't feel like I'm living, then I'm, like, just what the fuck is the point, yeah. you know?
Completely. You're mm-hmm. just floating through life otherwise. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
I freaking love talking to you, and it actually is insane how similar we are.
I know. I'm, like, literally listening to you, and, like, everything you said, I was like, yep.
No, 100% same. 100% same.